Thank you, Philip. We'll see if Tulane can come back in this one against Kansas State. It would be a great win for the American early in the season. We'll dive into the American a little bit later this hour, and of course, we'll get into it, but there's some interesting things to look at with the American this year, and of course, now with the expanded playoff, more than likely, it is easier for the American to get a team into the college football playoff this season. But like I said, we'll dive into that a little bit later in the show. Scott Rogers, Philip Pilkington, Joe Sampson with you, Dom Kosolke producing as well, getting you ready for East Carolina and Old Dominion. Kickoff coming at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll lead you into network coverage starting at 5 p.m. here on 94.3 The Game and also on 107.9 WNCT. Well, guys, let's take a look a little bit more in depth on this East Carolina offense. The first time that we've seen it this year, last week against Norfolk State, and boy, did it not disappoint. We saw a lot of the things that we have not seen in a long time at East Carolina. You saw throwing the ball a lot. You saw quick pace on offense. You saw more guys getting touches than what we've normally seen in the past as well. And it reminded me so much of the Lincoln Riley offensive coordinator days at East Carolina, where it was those kind of short slant passes for 5-6 yards here. Some of them would break free and get down the field a little bit more. You still had your rushing game in there as well, but it was mainly a passing feel to it. Now, did we probably see all of this East Carolina offense this against Norfolk State? Absolutely not. That playbook is going to be opened up a whole lot more today against Old Dominion. But, Joe, when you saw kind of that first half of the offense, yes, you had the interceptions. Yes, you had some turnovers, but it was eye-opening. And you had been telling us all offseason how this offense was going to be unbelievable to watch. And it was really – that's what it was on Saturday. And it's obviously can be a whole lot better than it was, but just because it's so drastically different than what Pirate fans have seen – over the past 3 to 4 seasons, it was so eye-opening to them.
Yeah, I mean, what a first impression. For all these conversations we've had in the offseason, we heard that JDB has never called an offensive play as a play caller in his life. I'm sure he's had collaborations at Ole Miss and all his different stops. He's got so many different influences, it has to have been a conversation for sure. But when you get into that as a play caller, you have to find your rhythm, and that can take you a couple games, and he hit it right out the jump. I think Garcia did exactly what you expected him to do. The jitters are going to be there. You're going to clean up the turnovers. We should see him take care of the football much better this week. But also, I love the way he took chances. It was a very different feeling offensively from last year, where it just felt like if it wasn't there, there was no kind of making a playability. It was just kind of throw the ball away, run the QB draw, or try and get out of bounds to get you another play. And you wound up getting behind the sticks a lot more than you did ahead of them. And we saw probably 4 or 5 explosive plays in last week alone. And I think there might have been 10 or 15 total last season. So the drastic difference between that is definitely something that has made me excited to watch. And I know that the offense has not opened everything up yet. And you alluded to the Lincoln Riley thing so fast. And as a defensive play caller, it is so difficult to get your personnel in, to get this right coverage call, to be aggressive. Because if you are, they're going to make you pay big time.
And a big reason why this offense can run quickly is because they have the personnel to do it now on the field. Big reason because of that is Team Boneyard. And Philip, both you and Steve and I go talk to these players a lot in the offseason with Hoist the Colors during the week on 94.3. And one, you talk to them on the air and you talk to them off the air as well. And you've kind of alluded to this too, how these guys that came in here on the offensive side wanted to get this thing fixed. They have that mindset to do that. And from what we saw Saturday, we'll see it more today. These guys are doing everything right to get this offense turned around and get it to a competitive offense again.
They are. And, you know, there's a lot of guys who came from bigger programs, right? They felt like that their talents were not being utilized at some of those bigger programs. And, you know, they knew that they can play with the ball in space. They're much more physical, it seemed like, than the receivers were a week ago. a year ago. They were much more physical. We even saw sometimes where one of the receivers would get brought inside and have to put his hand in the dirt and line up as a tight end. They were being jammed by linebackers and still were able to get pretty clean releases. They were able to stem their routes and then, because of that, get open. That is huge. That is something we didn't see a year ago. And now, also, you got to talk about the returners. The returners in this backfield, you do have a healthy and much lighter Rajay Harris. Javius Bond doesn't seem to be 100% health, but I'm sure he will get there, and he can be that explosion play guy in this backfield. Yeah, he's not quite as fast as Keaton Mitchell, but he can kind of replace Keaton Mitchell, where it seemed like last year, consistently, we did not have that explosion play guy in the backfield due to the banged upness of both Marlon Gunn and Javius Bond. So I think there's a lot of talent, and it was so great to see last week 9 different players caught balls in the first half. You know, when you blow a team out, you expect a lot of different guys to get in the game and touch the football, but it was happening in the first half. It was happening when East Carolina was still playing in a way that the game was in doubt. And John David Baker talked about it all offseason, how they are 2 and 3 deep at a lot of positions, and that's not just that he has confidence if someone gets injured to put these guys in, but he is thinking that these guys will play in the 2 to 3 deep and play significant minutes. Now, the one thing we didn't see last week, and you're totally okay with it, is no one really established themselves as the go-to guy, but it was good to see everyone get involved. We think Chase Sowell, who was injured a week ago, will probably be that go-to guy down the stretch, and East Carolina has a lot of time to figure out who that guy is as the season goes on. And you didn't just see it from one room. You didn't just see it from the receivers, you saw it from the tight ends as well as the running backs.
Yeah, and you mentioned getting the ball in the different guys' hands. John David Baker also talked about that this week in his media availability on being able to wanting to get the ball into different guys' hands more often because, one, it gives them more touches and it gives you more weapons on the field as well. Roll it, Dom.
Big key and what I think we try and do a good job of is, you know, we got a lot of different people that can play, and we got a lot of guys that can do good things with the ball in their hand, and you know, we got to continue to find different ways to get them the ball. We got at every spot, really, every spot at receiver, every spot at tight end, a lot of good depth there, and we got to continue to do that.
And you look at the rushing attack from the offense. Yes, you only had, I think it was a little over 100 yards of rushing last week, but you had guys get a lot of touches there. London Montgomery had 14 carries for 67 yards. Bond and Harris only combined, I think, for 8 attempts in that game for a little over 40 yards. But the rushing attack is still going to be a big part of this offense, I think. Yes, we've seen mainly the passing attack, but once you get Rajay kind of in the feel for things, obviously we saw London Montgomery have success as well. Joe, how do you think the rushing attack is going to be a part of this offense as we get further into the season?
It's going to sound like a cop-out answer to you here, but it's going to be running back by committee. I don't think they're going to have one set guy, especially with the talent that all of these guys have in the backfield. We saw what Marlon Gunn could do a little bit in his freshman year. He hasn't really took the step yet, but we know what Rajay Harris is. We know how he can run between the tackles and play in the perimeter, and his best ability that nobody kind of talks about is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. So with this new offense, getting him into that rhythm and getting him into those spots, as soon as you think Rajay Harris needs a blow, Javius Bond is standing on the sidelines. And there are so many other running backs within that room that can make those big plays that I don't think you necessarily have to try and find that guy. You can be a running back by committee, put them in certain situations, and give yourselves those matchups that so many people are trying to stop.
Two guys, too, that kind of emerged last week having really good games, Brock Spaulding and Desirio Riles had really good games from the passing attack. And, Phillip, these are two guys, a prime example of getting the ball into different hands. And Spaulding has been a part of this program. Riles is another one, too, that a name a lot of Pirate fans might not be too familiar with yet. But it appears that these two guys are going to have a significant part of the passing game this season.
You know, it was interesting. Heading into last year, we heard a lot about Brock Spaulding. We didn't see a whole heck of a lot of him. We saw a decent amount, especially early, and what really stood out to me about Brock was his ability to line up in different spots. He's not an X. He's not a Z. He's not a slot. He can line up really at all three. He knows the playbook. He's very smart. Yeah, he's not really your jump ball kind of guy because he's not real big, but he catches the ball in space. He's physical, kind of reminds you of a Julian Edelman type where, yeah, he's a little smaller, but really likes to put his head down, likes a lot of contact. And we saw a good game from him this past week, and I think we're going to see a lot of Brock Spaulding this year. And as you mentioned, Assyrio Ryles, well, we heard a lot about him in the preseason. We heard a lot about the tight end room as a whole. And really, you'd have to go back pre-Scotty Moe to really have a time where the tight ends were playing a massive role in the offense with anything other than just being an extension of the offensive line. Yet Ryan Jones was great when he got the ball given to him, same with Shane Calhoun, but it didn't happen on a consistent basis just due to the scheme of the offense. And I think Assyrio Ryles is just one of a few names that Pirate fans are going to have to learn about in this tight end room because, look, as we mentioned, they're going to get the ball to a lot of different receivers and a lot of different tight ends. And they're not only going to just line up in the tight end. What I love about this room, especially to Assyrio Ryles, these guys can kind of line up in the backfield as that H spot. They can line up in the slot, and they can line up in a true tight end position as well. And that just speaks to their versatility.
Yeah, and you bring up the tight end position. That was going to be my last question here to Joe before we go to break was, you mentioned Ryles. Casey Kelly is another one that had a touchdown reception last week, and you kind of stole my thunder because I was going to bring up the fact that we really have not seen a tight end having an effect on this offense in quite some time. And really, the last one that really comes to mind was Bryce Williams back in those Lincoln Riley days because he was one of the best tight ends this program has ever seen. But, Joe, as a former tight end yourself, you look at guys like Casey Kelly, Assyrio Ryles, how beneficial is it to have two or three really good tight ends to be a part of this offense, and how will it fit in this offense in terms of it being kind of a quicker pace?
So as a tight end, the first thing I think about is matchup and knowing the types of tight ends you have. You have three different archetypes as far as just who can play that true Y position, who can line up in that H-back slot in the backfield. And with Casey Kelly, you can get that kind of mismatch, that Travis Kelce type body, that Sam Laporta type body, and you're going to use him in those situations where you can kind of get the ball on him a little bit. He's going to get those contested catches, but you're going to get him out in the flat with some space in front of him. He's not going to be the burner. And then you've got Ryles. Ryles is starting to come to his own. He's going to take a big step this year, and you saw it a little bit last week. He can do kind of both things that he needs to do, but the true guy that's going to be that dynamic X factor at tight end this year is going to be Tyler Savage. Once you get him the ball, former receiver with wiggle like he has, his shiftiness, his ability to run in the open field, he's like a gazelle when it comes to opening his stride up, and I think that's really going to help them, especially in this offense. And Matt, there's so many different and many ways you can get all these guys the ball. And with the new tight end coach doing what he has done in the past and JDB's history with the tight ends at Ole Miss, I think you're going to see a huge season from the tight ends.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how many guys we have get the ball today in their hands against Old Dominion. Well, the Monarchs, we'll talk about them on the other side of this timeout, is Sweet Virginia Breeze by Robin Thompson. Pirates traveling up to Norfolk today, a little over 2.5 hours from kickoff. 6 o'clock right here on 94.3 The Game, 107.9 WNCT as well, with network coverage underway at 5 o'clock. We'll take this time out. We'll talk about those Old Dominion Monarchs when we return. This is the Anson Belt and Buckle Pirate Game Day Countdown, presented by Orthopedics East and Sports Medicine Center.